Let's pray as we come to start this sermon. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it speaks to us today. I pray as we come to think about it and look at it, you'd help my words to reflect your truth. And may you open all of our hearts by your spirit to hear the message that you want us to hear this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. I think my clicker's died. Oh, it might need to be turned on. Oh, that helps. There you go. It's a good start, isn't it? St. George's made a bad start because I had the wrong reading down, but there we go. I don't know if you're aware, but on the 17th of September, Donald Trump's arriving in the UK. And as you get a sense, there's a controversial invitation. It was given by Keir Starmer back in February to come at the invitation of the King to come for a state invite, a state visit. And as part of that state visit, in Windsor Castle, St. George's Chapel, there's going to be a great banquet for everyone to join in with. Of course, the visit itself is not without controversy. There's one particular group called the Stop Trump Coalition. I don't know what they're about. They're planning something called a Trump Not Welcome demonstration. So there you go on that. So the visit itself is controversial, but the banquet itself has also proved controversial. I don't know if you know Ed Davey, the leader of the Liberal Democrats. He was invited, but he's saying he's not going to go because he wants to demonstrate that he doesn't feel that Trump's done enough to stop the fighting with Israel and Gaza. Conversely, Nigel Farage is upset because he's not been invited. So you can't win, can you? It's controversial already. It's already feeling like an awkward banquet, and it hasn't even happened yet, whenever it will happen. As we come to our passage today, if you've got your Bibles open, you might want to look back at the beginning of chapter 14. You get the context. And in Luke's Gospel, it's always helpful, particularly with parables, to look at the context of what's going on, because they often give you a bit of insight into what the parable's about. And actually, the context here is a rather awkward dinner party. You look at verse 1, it tells us that Jesus has been invited by a Pharisee to his house for dinner, and he's invited lots of other guests as well. I guess Jesus is meant to be the prominent guest. But you know, if you read the Gospels, that there's a certain amount of tension between the Pharisees and Jesus. They don't always see eye to eye or get on that well. And Jesus seems to lean into the controversy. And so you read through the first 14 verses of Luke 14, you'll see that it's rather an awkward dinner party. Jesus starts off by going right for the big controversial issue between him and the Pharisees. Is it right to heal on the Sabbath or not? Because it's a Sabbath dinner party, and he goes ahead and heals someone. Then he criticizes people for trying to get into the best seats and says that she should go for the lower seats. So he's criticized all the guests. And then he has a go at the host and says, actually, you shouldn't really invite these other wealthy and respectable people. They'll just invite you back. Really, the people you should invite are the people, that the lame, the crippled, the blind, that have got no money, because they can't invite you back. And then your reward will be from God. And you'll be blessed at the resurrection of the righteous. And you can imagine that all these criticisms, three separate criticisms, one after the other, would have left quite an awkward atmosphere at this party. You could probably cut the atmosphere with a knife. People would have been squirming in their seats. There's always one that wants to try and cheer things up, isn't there? And so one guy sort of grasps on what Jesus had just said about the resurrection of the righteous. And he says in verse 15, which is the start of our reading today, he says, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. He wants to get a positive spin on things, get Jesus talking about positive stuff. Actually, this man's right, isn't he? Isn't it blessed? Isn't it joyful? Isn't it wonderful to be invited to be part of the feast in the kingdom of God? Let's just pause for a moment before we go on to how Jesus responds to think about that. Because Jesus doesn't say that this statement is wrong. Far from it. Actually, this is going to be a truly amazing banquet. You might wish, like Nigel Farage, that you'd been invited to the state visit of Donald Trump. You might wish you weren't, like a Davy. Going there would be a big honour. It would show that you're a VIP, I guess, a very important person, which is, I guess, why none of us have been invited. Although some of you might have been, I don't know. So, but actually, isn't it an amazing honour to be invited to be part of the feasts in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God? To be sitting not with the king and the president, but with the King of Kings, the Lord of the whole universe, the creator of the whole universe, to be at his dinner party? What an incredible honour. What an amazing privilege. We so easily forget that, but it's wonderful, incredible. We're going to go there if we trust in Christ and follow him. And actually, it's going to be an amazing menu. I don't know what the banquet menu is for Donald Trump's visit, but actually, think about the menu that will be on the banquet for the kingdom of heaven. This is the banquet for the guy who created all the food in the world. The great diversity of fruit. I mean, we live in a country now where, you know, in the past you just ate carrots and peas and sprouts and things, but now you can get all kinds of weird things like kiwi fruits and avocados and stuff, and we're delighted in that, don't we? But in the kingdom, the feast of the kingdom of God, you've got the creator of the whole universe. Who knows, there may be fruits from other planets that are on the feast table. What a wonderful thing. And more than that, it says in Revelation that into the kingdom of God will be brought all the glories and the wonders of the nations. So in this country, now because many people have come to this country, we enjoy pizzas and curries and Chinese takeaways and so on. We've got a great choice of things to eat, don't we? But the kingdom of heaven will have all the best food from all around the world, all the best chefs, all the best recipes. MasterChef is going to have nothing on this. What an amazing banquet to be at. And what amazing guests to be with. You might think that going to you might get to sit next to someone important at the banquet if you go there, like, I know, Keir Starmer or Kemi Badenoch or some other leader beginning with K. But actually, in the kingdom of heaven, you'll get to sit with people who have been made perfectly righteous. You see, at the moment, all of us have our negative side, don't we? We have our sinful bits. The bits that often come out when we're tired, annoyed, or angry. But actually, in the kingdom of God, through faith in Christ, we will be made perfect. The best parts of us will shine, and the rubbish parts will be gone. And you'll get to sit with lots of people who are shining at their best and being their best. What a wonderful love-feast relationship this will be. Surely we should be excited and hopeful and want nothing more in life than to be aiming to be a part of this banquet and this place. When I'm sure if you were invited to a state banquet, maybe a less controversial one, you would long to go. But even more, we should be longing to go to this amazing banquet. And the man says, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. And Jesus doesn't say he's wrong. But his response says, actually, be careful that you don't miss out on it. You don't end up running after things that are less good, less important than that amazing banquet. So Jesus tells a story. And the way parables work, the way the stories that Jesus tells work, and we're going to be doing a number of these over the next few weeks, is that basically the story on its own sense is just quite a boring story of normal life. Often with a few tweaks to normal life, but basically a story of normal life. But actually, of course, Jesus is trying to make a spiritual point, a point about our relationship with God, our eternal future. And so as we read the stories, we need to see what different parts of the story, how they connect and how they represent what Jesus is talking about. And so let's just quickly do that for this story. It's kind of an advisory tale. Jesus is trying to advise the person, people at this table, how they should live through this story. And of course, the great banquet, well, that refers to the feast in the kingdom of God we've just been talking about. The host of the banquet, of course, that's meant to represent God. In the story, it's just an ordinary man, but he's talking about how God responds. The servant in a story. Some people say this is not important, but actually in a way I think it represents Jesus, who comes saying the kingdom of God is near, just like the servant comes and says, look, dinner's near, dinner's ready. And because we as Christians and the church now take on that responsibility to invite people into the kingdom of God, to come and be part of that feast. So we now are the servant in a story, just as Jesus was at that time when he told the story. And then you've got the initial invitees, the first ones that have been invited but reject the invitation. And that's probably referring to the religiously respectable, the people like those that were sitting around the table with Jesus at the Pharisee's house. And then you've got the later invitees. And they refer to all the people that might be seen as unimportant or overlooked in this world. So it's good to have that sort of understanding of how the parable works. I'm going to focus now on the initial invitees and the later invitees. So first of all, the initial invitees. They were the respectable, the kind of VIPs in the world at the time. They were the ones that, you know, a wealthy person would expect to invite, and they knew about the banquet coming up. But now the servants sent out, as was the custom in those days, because people didn't have WhatsApp or to remind them, or even clocks or watches to check what the time was. So you'd send out your servant to say, look, now's the banquet, now's the time to come. Come along, let's get going, let's come and enjoy ourselves. And so the servant goes out, he goes to the different people, and then they all make very feeble excuses. Did you notice how feeble the excuses were? All the excuses were saying, actually, I'd rather do this than come to the banquet, even though the this is not something that they need to do then. Does that make sense? It's something they could leave till later, or do the next day, or next week even. So the first guy that goes to, he says, come to the banquet, and the guy says, actually, I got a new field. I want to go and inspect it. And this kind of represents, though, that people that actually are more excited, more enthusiastic, more eager to enjoy their possessions than to enjoy what God wants to offer them in the kingdom of God. He could quite easily go and look at his field another day and not miss out on the banquet. But he says, I want to look at the field instead. And then there's a guy who says, actually, I've just bought loads of oxen and things. It's a bit like I've got a new tractor or a new combine harvester. There's a song about that, isn't it? I won't start singing, don't worry. I want to go and try that out. Of course, this represents the people that sort of actually, they're more excited and more infused to get on with their work and do their jobs rather than take the kingdom of God seriously. And then there's relationships. The last guy says, actually, I've just got married, so I can't come to the banquet. Well, bring your wife, you know. I know you want to spend time with your wife, but you can do that tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. You know, you got stuck with her the rest of your life, you know. These are really feeble excuses. And that's the point, really. Jesus is saying, look, don't so many people in this world make feeble excuses about looking into what God is offering them in the kingdom of God, a place at God's amazing, incredible, fantastic banquet. Missing out on that wonderful honor because they're more obsessed with the latest car they've got or the latest kitchen they're putting in, or they're so focused on work and trying to make enough money out of the job or get their careers going, or they're too focused on worrying about who they're going to marry or keeping their wife happy or family issues or whatever. Well, these things are important. They're part of life, you know, possessions and work and relationships. They are part of life. We should take them seriously. We should enjoy them. Although often they can be annoying. But actually, they're not the most important thing. They're all temporary. What God is offering us is eternal. What God is offering us is far greater, far more wonderful, far more blessed and more powerful. And in verse 24, Jesus turns to them and says, I tell you, not one of these men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. And he's saying to the respectable man, he's brought up this, how wonderful to be at the banquet. Actually, do you really believe that? Or are you more worried about your possessions, your work, or your relationships? Are you in danger of missing out because you focus on those things instead? And of course, in today's world, people do still focus on those things more than God, more than his kingdom. Coming to church is not quite the same as coming to the great banquet, you know. You're still with people that aren't polished. It's not quite such an honour to be here. Food's not great. But coming to church is a sign, isn't it, of wanting to be part of that ultimate kingdom and working towards that and looking towards that and looking forward to that and celebrating that, celebrating all that God has done for us. And yet how many people make excuses for coming to church or excuses for thinking about the Christian faith that sound very much like these excuses? So I can't come to church, I've got to wash my car, I've got an Amazon delivery coming. Can't come into church because I've got to work really hard, otherwise my boss isn't going to be pleased with me. Can't come to church because I've got all these family issues. Now on occasions, of course, that it's right that we have to look at urgent things in our lives that come up, and being at church every week is not essential. But actually, shouldn't we want to prioritise who God is and encourage others to do the same? Are we making feeble excuses and in danger of missing out? So that's the first set of invitees. But of course, the man responds in anger. He responds because actually these people have snubbed him, and he snubs them in return. They won't eat from his banquet. But he also says, let's invite everyone else. If the important people won't come, I'm going to invite the unimportant people. They can become my VIPs. And he says, go out and get the lame, the blind, and the crippled, and everyone else. Those people that, you know, can't pay anything, haven't got many possessions, haven't got many helpful relationships, haven't got a job because they can't do it. Invite them in. They'll come. And they do. And they get to enjoy and be treated as VIPs at this banquet. And this, I think, is showing to people, first of all, that if you're someone who sees yourself as unimportant in this world, or you feel that people in this world treat you as unimportant, if you feel that you know you can't do as much as you'd like to do, or you haven't got as much as you'd like to have, or you haven't got the relationships you'd like to have, God says, actually, come to me. In my kingdom, you're invited to the greatest banquet of all. In my kingdom, you are a VIP. And maybe we need to see how amazing that is, that God turns things upside down. It says in Luke chapter 13, verse 30, just the chapter before, indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and the first who will be last. Maybe you feel like you're last in this world. Jesus says you can be first if you come into my kingdom. You may feel unimportant. You may feel looked down upon. You may feel left behind. But come to God, and you become a very important person. So some of you need to hear that and rejoice that you, even you, can be part of this amazing banquet that God is putting on. Others of us who are part of the church, who already know we're going to that banquet, need to remember that we have that role as a servant to actually invite the unimportant, to welcome whoever comes into the church, whatever status they may have. It's often easy in churches, and this is a real temptation, particularly for vicars who are often always looking for volunteers, as you know. You know, to love the people that come that can, you know, give lots of money to the church or do lots of stuff for the church. But actually, we should long to invite everyone in, whatever they can give, no matter how little it may be. We should want to include everyone, no matter how like us or dislike us they are. Sorry, unlike us they are. Because that's what God is like. And we should want to be hosts of those who can't pay us back, those who can't give to us. As Jesus says, doesn't he, back in Luke 14, 13 to 40, but when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you'll be blessed at the resurrection of the righteous. As Christians, as a church, we need to be looking to invite and welcome everyone, and maybe especially the poor, and especially the unimportant in the world's eyes. After all, Jesus says, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So I wonder how you feel about Jesus' story that he tells at this rather awkward dinner party. How do you respond? Maybe you find it a bit awkward. Maybe you'd rather stick with the status quo. I like to think that actually, you know, I don't take religion or Christianity too seriously. The things that really matter really are possessions and my job and my family. Maybe you don't like that sort of challenge, or even the challenge to invite and welcome people that you find maybe difficult or hard to get alongside. Maybe you feel awkward about the challenge. Maybe you feel advised, actually, yes, Jesus, you've got a point. I do need to refocus my attitudes. I do need to see afresh how awesome and amazing it is to be part of your kingdom and what we're heading for. And not to forget about possessions and jobs and family, but to focus on you and put those things in perspective. Maybe, yes, as church, we need to think more carefully about how we welcome everyone to come, whoever they are, and make sure all feel welcomed and are part of the church. Maybe you feel advised by the story and want to go away and pray about how that might change your attitudes and your behavior. Or maybe you're just amazed afresh at what it is to be part of God's kingdom and where we're heading, to be honored guests at that amazing banquet in heaven forevermore. No matter how important we may be in this world, we can be VIPs in God's incredible kingdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and truth. Help us to respond to it, to be advised by it, and to be amazed by what we have in you. In your name we pray. Amen.